I don't have to do things I don't want to do. I had to tell myself that a lot after experiences with my uncle.
If they gave you a paycheck for this show, though, and you had to do one for every episode.
What's the paycheck?
That's what I'm asking. What would it take?
I don't know, grand.
A grand?
Yeah, give me a grand an episode.
Okay.
And then I'd want to do it. Then I'd want to do it.
Are you serious? A grand an episode?
Yeah. Where do you come from? Where do you work? What do they pay you?
Welcome to Creeps and Roses with Vinny and PJ. We're talking about The Bachelor because Vinny needs to pay. Lots of bitchy girls who want to see that dick. We didn't want to do this podcast, but Carl is a prick. The Bachelor. Let's discuss The Bachelor with PJ and with Vinny. We've got roses, we've got creeps.
All right, fine.
Welcome to Creeps and Roses, the final episode, episode 6.
This is it. Thank you, PJ.
This is the final episode. Right, Vinny? That's how math works?
That's right, PJ. The last episode of Creeps and Roses. Who needs a finale?
Something doesn't seem right. I don't know.
All right, fine. It's episode 4 right now. One more left.
Oh, yeah, because you're going fast and loose with the numbers. Oh, we haven't done a single episode. Maybe we've done like an episode. This is episode 2 at best. But I mean, based on your numbers, this is basically episode 6.
Well, it's episode 4.
Are there going to be more after this, or is this?
Oh, dude, I'm hoping to retire this shit as soon as I possibly can. We had to do 5 episodes. That was the consequence. In fact, I'm going to point out right here to all my creepomaniacs out there. We said this consequence was 5 10-minute podcasts about The Bachelor. I have over-delivered.
For the first time in your life, you have over-delivered.
No, I get over-delivered all the time from Grubhub, DoorDash.
Yeah. They had to cut you off. Yeah. I think you've had enough.
Over-delivering at the expense of your buddy PJ, who signed up for also doing 10-minute episodes. And then he's like, you know what? We're going to record for an hour and a half.
No, not tonight, buddy. We are only doing one episode tonight. We are covering episode 5 of season 25 of The Bachelor. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I am usually a stoic about these things. I am usually very, very close to the vest on my true feelings.
What?
But this episode entertained the shit out of me and kept me captivated. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Vinny's a fan.
No.
Vinny, number one Bachelor fan.
I did not say that at all. I said this episode of this show was entertaining.
All right. Says Vinny, the president of Bachelor Nation.
You're a huge fan of The Bachelor, which we know.
No, it's not what I'm saying.
Are we going to go straight into
this is episode 4, and I was entertained by episode 5. Why isn't anybody following this?
They need a new host, you know.
Are we going to go straight into The Bachelorette right after this?
Because no.
It'll probably start soon.
No!
I mean, it seems like you have to balance it out.
No, I don't have to balance anything out.
We have to keep going till we reach 5 episodes. That was the deal.
Yeah, well, there's still plenty left of the season to talk about.
Well, I thought each season was like an episode. Like, they had to do 5 seasons of The Bachelor.
I'm going to kill both of you with an axe.
Also, so the last episode, my point was for the other episodes not counting is it's called Creeps and Roses. So there needs to be a creep segment. And I brought a creep segment, but then it got edited out.
Yeah, let's talk about creeps.
So that one doesn't count.
Let's talk about creeps. Welcome to Creeps and Roses, hosted by me, Vinny Paulino, and my co-host, PJ Filliam. And our guest this evening, hanging out with us once again, is Brian McBride. All 3 of us creeps. We are going to talk about The Bachelor.
Wrong.
So, creeps and
how am
Bachelor.
I a creep? Just because I did a black voice for the entirety of one of my episodes of my podcast?
Yeah, I'll go with that. That'll
do
it.
You want me to do it on this show? I can bring black PJ onto the Creeps and Roses.
Wait a second. You're a white guy?
I'm gender and race fluid, actually. So that means I can say the N-word whenever I want, but it's only when I'm identifying as a black man.
I think we have to return that grant money we got.
No, we get more grant money now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, McBride's gender fluid, too.
Sure.
So here's what's going on. We're going to pick up where we left off with the last episode. How does that sound, guys? Listen, you want to get into episode 5.
Okay.
This is the Red Wedding, a Game of Thrones terms of Bachelor episodes.
Okay.
Was that a menstruation joke? Disgusting.
I was going to get to it. It kind of was. This week episode picks right back where we left off. The OGs being petty to the new girls. And here's just a little clip of Victoria and Anna, our friend Fartface. You remember we called Anna Fartface because she always walks around looking like she's smelling Victoria's personality.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah.
That's a condition.
So they walk past two of the new girls, one of them being Ryan, and listen to the shit that they're saying. These girls are so nasty for no reason. It's unbelievable.
What do you mean no reason?
I just can't stand her. It's just disgusting. Disgusting.
Why is she disgusted?
What do you mean disgusted? Because they're new to the house, which is gross.
But it.
Oh, okay. Fair
enough.
They
don't have their menstruation cycles hooked. Or what's it called? Synced up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think how gross new Coke was.
You're right,
McBride. Anything new is bad.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. So these girls are just still being completely awful to each other. Going into the evening where they're going to have a cocktail party, our girls, Anna and Victoria, are still feeling pretty confident about how things are going for them.
I still feel like deep enough where I can pick up where I left off, which is nice. Yeah. Feel better than last week.
Yeah, they think everything's going their way.
Oh, good.
These two are on the top of the world right now going into this. Mm-hmm. They're all smiles. They got rid of Sarah. They got rid of what's her face. They're not happy with the new girls, but they feel pretty good about themselves. So at this point, something really interesting happens. Matt decides to come in and have a little conversation with the girls.
Oh, I can't wait, but it's something super exciting. As Matt is known to be.
He certainly is. Well, he comes in, and what this is exactly what he says. He comes in, and he said, he lets the women know what's on his mind. He says, if you have to belittle someone else for you to shine, then those aren't the qualities I'm looking for in a wife. And then he pulls a boss move that sends shockwaves through the room. You ready
for this? Shockwaves.
Shockwaves.
He spits on them.
Spits on all of them. They all have COVID now.
There's a lot of answers to questions that I need tonight. So, Brittany, we talk real quick.
That's right. Brittany is the girl that Anna said was an escort on last week's episode. So Anna was just feeling really, really confident. Matt comes out and declares he doesn't like people belittling each other in this toxic environment that he's learned about from Katie.
Isn't it fucked up that calling a girl an escort is, like, bad?
Yes,
aren't we supposed to be praising sexuality?
Sex positivity all day long. Fine with that. Honestly, this girl was really upset about this. You know, she talked to Matt when they got into the room about how this rumor made her feel. She cried. She said the rumor could, you know, really ruin her life.
It sucks because this is on national TV. Like, my mom watches this show, and, like, this could ruin my entire life. It sucks because...
Yeah, your mom knows you're a whore, but... Yeah.
Well, to be
your
fair...
Your mom already knows.
To be fair, she did have stone-cold proof in that she knew rich people.
That's right. That's right. Her argument was she met rich people before.
I've seen lots of movies, and all the whores in all those movies look like this woman, so I don't think it's that much of a stretch.
When she first showed up, she walks up and goes, I know that I'm late, and she just grabs Matt and starts making out with him.
Mm.
Like, she's a very forward girl, and these rumors start, and she's really doing a good job here of pulling on Matt's heartstrings. What's happening, meanwhile, in the other room? Is the shockwaves of Matt taking Brittany to go talk privately. Anna is now completely freaking out because she knows she's fucked. Old Fartface knows her goose is cooked. And so she starts backing up like a fucking garbage truck. Listen to this.
I had said something completely out of my character to say. I made a mistake. I made a stupid comment about Brittany.
Yeah, she did.
She has that look of like... You know, when, like, police, they bring your accomplice into another room and you're convinced they're just spilling it to him.
Yeah.
Like, she has that fear in her face.
It was her idea to be an escort, not mine.
Right.
It's like when you, like, shove your sibling over and then they, like, bash their head and they're under your mom. And then you just, like, sitting there, like, knowing you're about to get in trouble and be like, no, I don't want to get in trouble. That's basically what's happening with
her
right now.
She did my move from when I was a kid. Now, Matt comes out and says, hey, Anna, I think we need to talk. So he brings Anna into the room, and she does exactly what I used to do when I was a kid, because I'm a big believer in just facing the music.
Mm.
There's no reason, if you fucked up, not to just say, okay, I fucked up, because it disarms everything. It's the best advice I could ever give somebody professionally. If you make a mistake, just fucking own it up front. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, and you sort of act like you are like more upset about it than they are.
No, maybe not overact, but...
yeah, I called her a whore. She is a whore.
Right?
I'm owning up to it. She's a hoe. I mean, that basically happens later on.
A little bit. But McBride, do you have an apology you'd like to make to me?
I'm sorry, Vinny.
Thank you. That's all it is. That's all you got to do. It's amazing. So she gets into the room, and the first thing she does is start apologizing to Matt.
Before even coming here, I like, received messages about another girl who would also be here, Bernie. And then when she did show up, the worst thing I could say was said, and immediately I felt horrible about it, and I completely apologized. I was like, this is on me. This is me being a shallow person, the worst moment ever.
I was just shocked.
So, I mean, that's a pretty grovelly apology, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, a little pathetic. So
if I'm understanding, she heard another girl was coming in who was a prostitute, but it wasn't her, and she didn't show up?
No, she's just saying, I shouldn't have said anything, basically.
Okay.
She said, all these people told me this, and I shouldn't have said anything. That was her argument. So she's not saying none of this is true. She's saying it was wrong of her to talk, which I guess, maybe. And
she has no idea, though, if this girl is like...
If you were dating someone who's a whore, wouldn't you want someone to tell you that, like, hey, that chick's a whore?
Well, escort. Let's not call them whores.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sex positivity, remember.
Is something wrong with the
word whore? I guess you'd probably want to know.
I would want to know.
Well, I got some news for you. I'm praising her. All right, so they keep talking. At that point, when you tell me you're breaking into a rash, it's like, go home. Just go home.
Yeah.
Man, my herpes started acting up.
Yeah. I'm so stressed out. I'm having an outbreak.
I like how he's like, man, when I first met her, she was acting all spunky and like spry, and she was acting like a whore. And then now all of a sudden she's not. It's like she's trying to dial it back.
When I first met her, she just jumped out and started making out with me for no reason.
Oh, yeah. That's the same chick, too. Yeah. He's like, she was awesome. And then you kind of made her have to take a step back.
Guess what that means?
And unfortunately, I can't see you being part of that journey anymore.
Oh. You wrongfully accuse one girl of being a whore, and he just sends you home.
Yeah, unbelievable. And this is her just crying. She breaks down crying. Just falls down onto the couch crying. And this is how they make her feel better. Right to the truck. They don't even let her go get her shit, McBride. Right to the car. The second there's going to be a defamation lawsuit involved, you're out of here, honey. Gone.
I mean, this is just showing your amateur love of The Bachelor. That's what always happens is they break up with them and walk them to the car.
Oh, okay.
Jeez, it's like you're trying so hard to pretend like you don't love The Bachelor. You totally know that. How many seasons have you gone back and watched?
He's seen them all. He's the number one fan.
Episodes 1 through 6 of season 25.
What all the people listening don't know is that the reason that these episodes have been so inconsistent is because Vinny's been doing his own solo venture on the side where he's making solo Bachelor podcasts that are just this. There's no jokes at all. It's just Vinny actually analyzing the episodes.
It's just on his Tumblr.
That's right. Bachelor Vinny. So here's the deal. Anna's gone. Meanwhile, the girls are in another room and they're discussing. They're discussing the environment of the house. And this girl, Chelsea, who is one of the OGs, asks everybody what they think. And our girl Victoria has an opinion.
I feel like bullying is a very strong word and toxic. I don't feel like the environment of the house is toxic. But
I concur.
Do you guys think it is?
Yeah, Victoria knows. There's nothing toxic here. Everything's fine.
No. No one's calling people names. Disgusting. And
yeah.
Literally just walking past them, calling them disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, their very presence there, she finds to be absolutely an affront to her existence. So what's interesting is the new girls take a moment to speak their mind. And Michelle, who went on a one-on-one date with Matt last week, had something to say.
I'm fairly uncomfortable in the house. People have said disrespectful things, and also people have laughed at those things.
So, here's what's happening now. All the girls are starting to realize that Anna's gone, and this OG new girl stuff apparently is being taken very seriously. And so they are all starting to shit their panties, so to speak, about what's going to happen next. So would you like to guess what happens next, Brian?
Oh, so there's probably going to be a competition, right, between the OG and the new girls?
No.
Oh.
Apologies start flowing like Anna's tears.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all Victoria's.
I apologize. If something does bother you, like, please come tell me.
I do not think that you were treated fairly, so I wanted to make sure that that was known to you.
She didn't say by me, though.
No, she didn't. That was Victoria apologizing to a girl named Ryan. Now, Ryan was one of the new girls, and apparently she is a dancer, not an exotic dancer, like a ballet dancer as well or something. I don't fucking know who keeps this shit straight. So she apologized to Ryan, but Ryan learned a little something from Katie the other night.
Mm.
And what she learned is the trick to winning this game.
The dildo trick?
The old disappearing dildo trick. Katie was very generous teaching everybody. No, what she learned is that if you go to Matt and you use the right keywords, the person's done. Mm. So she's pretty much realizes, okay, Anna's gone. Victoria's in my sights. I am now going to be the Queen Slayer. And she goes to Matt.
Like, something that happens every single season is people go to the lead to complain about other people, and it basically never works out for that person. It's basically a way to guarantee you're sending yourself home. Yeah. It's basically like suicide bombing yourself out of The Bachelor.
Yeah, and to be fair, though, I'm not mad at Ryan for, like, sitting there and, like, accepting an apology, because, like, this is what Victoria did follow up her apology to Ryan with.
It was just, like, silly. It was never malicious.
So I just want to make sure that's in there, okay?
That silly Victoria.
Yeah, that's silly Victoria. Ryan goes to Matt, and this is what she tells him.
The main thing that has just aggravated me is with Victoria. It's constantly digs left and right in my face. It's a cheers on my very first group date when I was really excited to be with you and see you. And she made a cheers to the OGs.
Oh, she made a cheers to the OGs. Well, that doesn't seem like enough to get her thrown out. Well,
no.
Apparently Victoria did say one other thing to her. Apparently Victoria said to Ryan, "You're a dancer, so that must mean you're a hoe."
Mm.
And Ryan did not like this at all.
The word hoe is just like really like, oh my God.
She's very upset by it.
Wow.
Man, it seems like some of these women aren't as strong and as independent as they'd like you to believe, huh?
Sounds like someone's been called a hoe a lot.
Yeah. It sounds like it's like Marty McFly being called a chicken.
Right.
She just doesn't react well.
Right.
So here's her tattling some more.
The only reason apologies are coming my way is because you stood up and said something about it, and it does not feel sincere, and I do not believe it one bit.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, of course not. Victoria calls everybody fake. And what I find really interesting about that is, like,
she's right.
Well, yeah, they are fake. but the fact is, like, what's fake? Fake is thinking the things that Victoria says without saying them out loud. It just means that these people are raised better than her.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're thinking about their brand.
In my opinion, Victoria's raised the best because she's not fake like all them other hoes.
I can't argue with
that. She's not here to make friends.
She certainly isn't. Victoria finds out, because word travels fast in this here little hotel that they're staying in, that Ryan told Matt on her.
Oh, it's war.
So she comes up.
Can we trash how horrible Victoria's dress is in this also? She looks so bad.
Yeah,
I've never seen anyone look so bad.
Like, it's like a satin peach-colored titty dress, as Howard Stern likes to say. Her breasts are hanging out pretty good.
But it makes her look really pudgy, too, which is not a good look.
And she's and not pudgy. And her
bra straps are hanging out, which was a huge deal in the Bachelor community when this first happened. Yeah. It's like, you can tell no one liked her because no one told her to fix her bra straps.
That's a solid, solid thought. What's also interesting here is she's having a mental breakdown and all of these other girls are just sitting in silence for everything that's about to happen, just watching. So ladies and gentlemen, we are about to give you the downfall of Victoria. She goes in and confronts Ryan, and this is how it goes.
Your actions look fake towards me.
Me?
Yeah, the fact that you'd kind of go talk to him about me.
So she's like, you accepted my apology. Your actions towards me are fake because you went and talked to Matt about me. So shit's starting to get real. She's starting to get upset. Ryan starts to politely respond, and of course, Victoria handles it very, very well.
That really pissed me the off. Literally everything was going amazing. Literally.
Literally.
She's like a caricature of a mean girl. Literally, literally.
You know who calling people
hoes and bitches and stuff? Ugh.
She reminds me of Rob Lowe in Parks and Rec.
You are literally the meanest person I have ever met.
Like, she sucks so much. So she's having this meltdown. It keeps going.
I am the perfect person to be his wife, but then these losers create these problems when everything is fine.
Like, doesn't Ryan know everything is absolutely fine?
Yeah, everything is good.
Yeah, everything is absolutely fine.
None of it was. I don't feel this annoyed, but I am.
Yeah, she's flipping.
I'm just curious.
Right? She's flipping out.
I don't want to feel this annoyed, but I am. Like, oh my goodness.
I feel like everybody
Matt,
thinks
that. If Matt would have heard that, he'd send her home right away.
All of these girls are sitting there quietly, and this girl is storming around this house, just yelling, I don't want to be this angry! Well, then stop! Fucking have some control of yourself, for Christ's sake. So, there's supposed to be a cocktail hour right now, and Matt is there talking to the girls, and Victoria makes the biggest mistake she possibly can make when all these people have already been telling on her, all this shit's coming out. I mean, he heard all this stuff about her, and this is what he's thinking in his head.
Through all the antics, I felt like Victoria had a big heart, but there's no excuse for that type of behavior. Not here, not anywhere.
So he's like upset about the way she's behaving. He's read her all wrong, apparently, up to this point.
I know. Like, what?
And Victoria decides this is the moment.
Hey, can I talk to you?
Absolutely.
How are you? Tonight, I have to definitely talk to Matt. The girls, they're all fake as shit, and they're not his wives. So I think that like he'll be able to decipher the truth from other girls.
Yeah, her good outshines all the other shitty women in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she thinks that if she just goes to Matt right now, he's going to see through all of their fakeness and realize she's the queen.
Well, yeah, she's the queen. She's the light that shines through the toxic house environment that she created.
I mean, yeah, super observant Matt just found out she's a bitch now.
Right? Also, Matt looks so confused all the time. Like, he has a constant, like, duh face. It's so annoying.
I actually really like Matt in this episode for a couple reasons, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. So Matt decides to level with her. They sit down on a couch, and this is what he says.
That's why it was hard when I was having these conversations tonight and last night when it was brought to my attention by Katie that there's this toxicity in the house, and I didn't know any of this stuff was going on, and when it was brought to my attention, I thought that we had squashed everything. I thought that everything was going to be great and we could continue with the night. This conversation with Ryan.
He follows it up with, you really shouldn't have called her a hoe.
People's words are so powerful. And when you said that Ryan was a hoe for being a dancer, I don't think you know.
That was completely taken out of context.
It was completely taken out of context. It was what?
I was
what?
Saying she was a hoe anyway, not because of the dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not trying to insult dancers, Matt. Right. I'm trying to insult that whole Ryan.
Right.
Yeah. It was like the whole like Twinkie thing, like, yeah, I'm like a Twinkie and you're like a ho-o.
So Matt's response to this made me kind of like him, because he just looked so fucking puppy dog puzzled when she said this. And it was the first time I felt like there was an actual natural reaction from him. Listen to his response to it. It was out of context.
Like, I'm just curious, like, what context would calling somebody a hoe be acceptable to be taken in?
And her response to that was she sat there braiding her own hair and not responding. She just looked at him. And he got upset, and he walked out of the room and just left her sitting there.
Wow.
She should have done the Twinkie excuse like I just came up with. That would have worked out perfectly.
That would have been smart.
Or she's talking about little Debbie's. Come on.
We're starting to get to like Chernobyl levels, guys. She's freaking out.
Am I missing something here? Like, I make the house toxic. That's completely crazy. Completely crazy. And like, I know there's no truth to that. So, okay, someone who just came in the house said I called her a hoe.
Yeah, so? They said I called her a hoe. How would I be making the house bad? There's no truth to that.
She does a great job of running down exactly where she was kicked out by saying, these are all the things people are saying which aren't true, even though they're all true.
Right. She's unbelievable. So what happens next is she goes into a room, slams a door, and she pulls out her cell phone and she makes a phone call to somebody. And all we hear is the one-sided conversation. But listen to this girl trying to reassure herself by talking at somebody else. Do you know people like this who get all worked up and then they call somebody and just like spill this shit on them? Listen to this.
It's like not even funny anymore because I am like getting feelings invested, and like, and that was like a really hard conversation, but I feel like he did believe me and know that like I am taking it serious to be his wife. It's like frustrating.
So she's on the phone with somebody. Somebody was probably at home making
dinner.
She's not
on the phone, idiot. She's talking to a producer.
She's on the phone. Trust me, she is. Because she comes out on the phone still yelling. But what I'm trying to explain is someone was sitting at home trying to make dinner, and this fucking dingbat called them screaming like this. Now, all the girls are sitting on the couches watching this, and here comes Victoria on her cell phone still going.
Literally die.
Oh, can't God. Wait. Would you start?
Oh my God.
So
it annoys me that she's like, that's not even a lie. Like, that's not even me being rude. That's the truth. Like,
everyone else's braids are filled with poop, and I'm a genius.
If someone just walked up to her and was like, hey, Victoria, you're a cunt, like, that would be rude, but it would also be the truth. Like, things can be rude and the truth at the same time.
Amen to that. You're a great co-host, PJ. Thanks. So at this point, Chris Harrison comes out and says, ladies, we're canceling the rest of Cocktail Hour. Victoria's running around screaming. We're going to go straight to the rose ceremony. And at this rose ceremony, there are some serious shots fired, because the first two roses given out, Brittany and Ryan.
Oh, no.
So it's like all the other girls are all like, oh, fuck. And as they go down the list, he gives roses to Brittany, Ryan, Rachel, Serena P, Maggie, Kit, MJ, Jacinia, Katie, Abigail, Chelsea. And then there's one rose left, guys.
Well, it's Victoria's, obviously, because she's the only one who can marry him.
I'd just like to say, for the listeners' sake, Brittany and Ryan, those are the two girls that were accused of being hoes, because I also didn't know who they were when you said that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the risk, too. When you call someone a hoe, he could be like, oh, yes, they're staying.
Yes. Oh, boy. He's like, really? Oh, my goodness.
He's like, awesome. Fantasy suites, here they come.
Escort, huh?
Yeah.
She might teach me a thing or two. So it is now time for the final rose. Who will get it?
Serena C.
PJ's favorite contestant, Serena C.
The ugliest chick.
And Victoria is standing there with her black eye, looking very upset. And as you can imagine, she handles it like a champ.
I honestly feel so sorry for you that you would listen to hearsay and not all of the facts behind a situation.
Matt stands there and doesn't say a word.
What's he doing?
He doesn't say a word. And then she continues on with making the most graceful exit I've ever seen.
And I'm still a queen. Matt is a jester. The fact that, like, he chose Katie over me. Ugh. Yeah, Matt, I feel sorry for you with your choices.
Wait, oh, you cut out the best part. You cut out the part where she almost said she'd never date a black guy again.
Did she say
She's that? Like, I'll never date a Matt again. Like, she almost said, I'll never date a black guy again. But she said, she's like, I'll never date someone named Matt again.
I find that hard to believe. There's no girls on the show who are racist.
Not a one. Now, here she keeps going. Here's
good foreshadowing.
This is called delusional goodbye.
The whole house is going to feel like that I'm gone. Like, I brought so many people joy.
Santa Victoria over here.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I can't see the show being any better after Victoria leaves.
No.
I can't see it being any better. PJ, am I wrong?
I mean, there is some good drama next week. Like, a few of the girls that weren't as toxic really shine through and become maybe even arguably more toxic than Victoria, but I don't think they last.
With Victoria going out, we now have a stage set for the new villain.
Mm.
And that new villain sees the writing on the wall with all of this happening.
Dildo Katie.
No, that new villain is Jungle Boy MJ.
Tonight wasn't fun. This whole place is messy. It is a hot mess in here. We had Anna go home, and then Matt ended the cocktail party early because of drama. And now Victoria is bugging out.
She's still the best.
I need to sit down.
So I may play that a little out of order. I apologize.
Yeah, that was...
But MJ is setting herself up to be the toxic member of this team. And the next day, what ends up happening is they start having some like one-on-one time dates. Rachel, who we've heard a lot about this week because of the finale and whatnot, but we're going to save our conversations on Rachel for next week's episode. She goes on a date with Matt, and they go on that traditional shopping date. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the best date for like any of these chicks. Like every chick on each season wants this date because most of the dates are just kind of like shitty. Like, oh, we're in a hot air balloon and then we go to dinner. But this one's like you get hundreds, if not thousands, dollars of clothes.
Yeah, Rachel got herself a pair of red bottoms and she walked back into the house with those and the girls lost their minds.
Vinny, do you think anyone who's listening to this know what that means?
I have no idea what a red bottom is.
You don't know, what are those, Louis Vuittons?
Vuittons. The only reason I know that is because I'm a nerd who also listens to a Bachelor podcast where they explain that to me, and I didn't get the big deal. And my wife's like, those are Louis Vuittons. And I'm like, well, why didn't they say that?
Let me tell you something. The red bottom is what gives it away. You see somebody walking around with a pair of red bottom shoes, it means they spent way too much money on their fucking shoes.
Like, is no one else allowed to make red bottom shoes?
I don't know.
I'm just going to start painting the bottom of my Nikes red.
Do it.
Like, people are really confused. These might be Louis Vuittons.
These are Louis Vuitton
Nikes. Very rare.
I like how Vinny tries to play off like, oh, I don't like The Bachelor. And he's like, can you believe she got a pair of red bottoms? Oh, my goodness. Also, Her outfit was amazing.
Wait till we talk about Rachel next episode, right, guys?
Oh, we got a lot to talk about Rachel next episode. Fucking trust me. But we'll save that as a teaser. So she comes, they go out and they have this date. And something very, very interesting happens.
Finally.
After he gives her probably $10,000 worth of clothes.
Okay.
She tells Matt, I am already completely falling in love with you. And Matt responds with this.
I'm already like completely falling in love with you.
Rachel, I'm falling in love with you too.
Whoa. That is the first time anything like that has been uttered from Matt James during this season. So that tells you right there that Rachel is a serious contender for the rest of this. She got the date that everybody wanted, and he told her that he's falling in love with her. So you can't get any better than that on this fucking show, I guess. Right, PJ?
Yeah, like if you're metagaming the show, like trying to figure out who's going to be the winner, which no, it's already over for this, so there's no point in doing that. But usually you can tell based on who gets the best dates, and usually the first person they say that they fall in, or they're falling in love with, there's a good chance that they win.
You know, a lot of girls on these shows are accused of being gold digging hoes, but it's nice for her to wait until he buys her a lot of stuff before she falls in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to see that good old fashioned American romance still alive.
You're all right. Stuff. Yes.
So Matt,
she's continues. Like, all of a sudden I like black people and regret my past. Huh?
Oh no. So
don't look at my Instagram.
Nobody did. Well, some people know what we're talking about, but we're gonna get there, folks. Don't worry.
Basically, she's a racist. Woo!
Surprise! So later that night, Matt's going on more like one-on-one cocktail hour style dates, and he starts talking to Abigail. Remember Abigail, PJ, the deaf girl?
The girl who was in the first episode and then disappeared for however many episodes.
She got the first impression, Rose, and then they never talked to her again.
Well, we didn't hear from her and she didn't hear from us.
That's right. She was a background fodder for the first five episodes.
You know, they tried to eliminate her three times. They just couldn't let her know. So she's like, she's just hanging out.
You can go home.
Like, just let her stay, whatever.
Abigail talks to Matt next, and she basically tells him she's losing confidence in their connection. Well, yeah, no shit. He hasn't spoken to you or even attempted to communicate with you in quite a while. And she goes, after hitting it off so
what's
early.
The point?
Yeah. She got the first impression, Rose. And she talks about her fear of disappointing him because they both want to have kids. And I got to tell you, like, you haven't spent a lot of time with the guy. You haven't spent any time with this man. You're trying to win him over. This is not the conversation to have. Listen to what Abigail tells him. Talk about being a downer.
There is a really strong possibility, you know, that my kids would be deaf.
He's like, all right, well, you're not getting a rose.
Kind of, sort of. Like, I mean, why don't you be like, I give a really good hand job. Like, just say something that, like, would get him interested in you. Let's not talk about heavy subjects like this.
No.
It was just a bad choice. So
you would assume that all deaf chicks do because they're constantly doing, like, sign language. So they have more dexterity than most
true.
Women.
Strong, strong forearms. Now, I like Wait, Abigail.
Also, Vinny, you're looking at it through the context of trying to get Matt to fall in love with them, which I've said multiple times is not the point of the show. She's trying to have her sob story because she probably got like a decent amount of Instagram followers that felt bad for her after this. Like, oh, she's deaf and now her kids are going to be deaf.
And I don't know what happens, but it feels like she knows now what an asshole he's going to look like if he dumps her now after saying that.
Mm.
Like, all the deaf people are going to be against him.
Yeah, calculated. See, yeah. Like most years, I would agree with that because they get to go on more vacations the longer they stay. But this one, they just have to stay basically as a prisoner. I mean, it's a nice place that they're at, but they can't leave because they're quarantined, like in this facility, which you'll see later on. Someone tries to come in and they have to quarantine for like 15 days or something crazy.
Yeah. So that was their conversation. And he's like, no, it's all right, Abigail. I really like you. So the next girl that he talks with is MJ.
It's funny because she only thinks that he likes her because he keeps trying to do the hang loose sign to her, but he keeps sticking up the index finger too. So she's like, he loves me.
Oh no, that's a deep sign language joke there, Peach.
Thanks. I got plenty more of them.
Which is a great demo for our podcast.
Yes, good stuff.
We should only speak in sign language for the rest of the podcast.
Okay, deal.
We talk about the shape of our hands.
Fuck you. Oh my God. How could you even say that?
I don't think this is going to work. So Matt tells MJ her name came up when he was talking to other women about the drama in the house. And it's unclear why he didn't have this conversation with her, because she really was kind of one of the shitty ones with Victoria and Anna. Maybe she was like the third fiddle, but now she's all that's left. She's the head on the fucking snake. She, you know, says, oh, no, I don't like people, you know, insulting my character like this. And she gets a little defensive. And what do you think she does next? She goes and finds everyone and demands to know who dared mention her to Matt.
I was called an antagonist in the house. Anyone here would ever like to talk to me? The floor is open for a conversation.
Can one of you tell me what that means? Because it's like really long.
I think it said something about anal.
Yeah. So I have never been mean to one ant in my life. I treat all insects with respect.
And I love my ants.
Right.
So, she's basically like the star closer of the toxic people in the show. Like, okay, well, we're all leaving because we got relieved, but now you come in with the clothes and you ruin these people's
fucking
lives.
El Duque over here, right off the fucking bench. Yeah.
Mariano Rivera.
Exactly right. So, someone decides to...
I think I'm owed an apology because right now... I owe you an apology. I feel like I'm the person being attacked right now and I don't feel like it's fair. I think...
So Jacinia goes, I told him, you were mean. You were talking about the OGs. You were doing all this stuff. Jacinia just owns it. And MJ is furious. Now, at this point, they're having their little feud, and they go over because this show is edited terribly. Mm-hmm. They show that now Matt's going on his other big one-on-one date. He's spending the evening with the youngest girl on the show, Kit.
Queen's Gambit girl.
What?
She looks like the girl from Queen's Gambit.
Never watched that shit.
But you watched this.
I have to watch this. I'm being punished. Kit gets a one-on-one where her and Matt spend the evening.
Vinny, I just came up with something you should do for the consequence wheel. Just pick shows that you want to watch but pretend like you don't want to see them and make put them on the wheel. Like Queen's Gambit.
Here's my Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast. Fuck!
Oh, damn it. I have to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, Arrested Development podcast. This is terrible.
The Dolphins podcast.
Oh, I got to do a podcast about the Miami Dolphins.
That would be depressing.
Fuck you, Brian. So this girl, Kit, her mother is a designer named Cynthia Rowley. Apparently, they're very, very wealthy. And she goes to Matt's like condo by this place. And basically, her date is she gets to cook for him. I'm not even shitting you. She just shows up and she bakes for him. She bakes some cookies. They sit around and talk. And I got to tell you, I do not find this girl to be very relatable.
If it goes well, will he take her home and she can do the laundry?
Yeah, maybe. So, hold on. Listen to this girl talk about her life.
A lot of my life is like gold Bentleys and red carpets and fashion events.
Yeah. Really relatable.
How do you feel about prenups, Kit?
Wow, Vinny, you're really showing how poor you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have a gold Bentley.
No.
I'm sure you have a couple.
A red bottom Bentley.
Yeah, my mom's a fashion designer. Just kidding. Actually, she killed herself.
Did your mom really kill herself?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
That's making the cut, PJ.
Well, she had the gold Bentleys, but she didn't have the one-on-one date with Matt where they cooked cookies or baked cookies.
She had a gold Bentley and a lead bullet. One lead bullet. Wow. Meanwhile, back at the house... Shit's starting to get real between Jacinia and MJ. And What happens is they have a big fight, and then all of a sudden they come in to give out the next date card, and it is not the date card that anybody expects.
MJ? And Jasenia, I need to know the truth.
That's all it said. MJ, Jasenia, I need to know the truth. The showdown is on, ladies and gentlemen. Here is...
They're going to an X-Files convention.
I think great. I'm right.
So they leave the show. This is how the show ends. It looks like an episode of The Apprentice. They're both walking in business suits, and they go and they sit down in a room facing each other from two separate chairs. And then there's a single chair in the middle where I guess Matt is going to sit.
This looks like the Viper versus the Mountain.
A little bit.
Looks so trashy too. Like, that's such a trashy outfit, and her hair looks like she basically looks like that guy from Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose.
She looks like Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Google it, people.
Stop saying Jungle Boy when we have the first half black bachelor.
That's the kid's name.
It's confusing.
That was his birth name.
I think you're being
extremely racist every time you say Jungle Boy.
It's his name. He's a wrestler.
That's his name. You might know him as Matt James. I call him Jungle Boy.
You know the actor Luke Perry?
From 90210?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's his son.
Oh, is it?
It really is. It's Luke Perry's son. Look up Jungle Boy, everybody. You'll have a good time. So they go to have this thing, and this is where the show ends, on a cliffhanger.
I think great. I'm right. I guess he'll find out the truth tonight. You'll find out the truth when this all airs, and so will he.
Oh, that's cute.
I think
that's right, folks. They left us on a cliffhanger. That is the end of episode five.
Can't wait for next week after that one.
Spoiler alert, they're both cunts. Yay.
Well, I have to say, this was a very interesting episode. We learned a lot. Victoria's gone. Fartface is gone.
R.I.P.
MJ is fighting for her life. Will the forces of evil prevail? We'll find out on the next episode of Creeps and Roses. I'd like to thank Brian McBride for joining us tonight. And I'd also like to thank my co-host PJ Filliam for being such a mensch.
Thanks for coming on the show, Brian. Check out We Are Assholes, my podcast, where I think we pretty much just say a bunch of racist stuff every week. So if you want to listen to that, check out the episode where we have Delvin Cox on.
Oh, great. Good. Sounds good. McBride, do you have anything to plug?
Not a thing.
Didn't think so. So, ladies and gentlemen, tune into the Creep Off on Monday. I got to tell you, it looks like someone will be spinning the wheel. And it ain't me, son. We'll see you then. Thanks again, everybody.
I'll get my bot farm going real quick, and it'll be you.
No, don't do that.
Wait, before we end the episode, I wanted to say this earlier. You said creepomaniacs at the beginning of the show. Is that something you say?
I said creepomaniacs. No, I just came up with it.
Okay. Also, can you stop saying hola creepos at the beginning of the show? Because I like the creep off, but when I click play, I'm like, oh, I have to get through Vinny saying hola creepos.
You got a better suggestion?
Anything besides hola creepos. Literally anything else.
It used to be howdy do creeperinos.
Very Ned Flanders.
You got the joke. Good for you. Good for you. That's the end of our show.
Welcome to Creeps and Roses with Vinny and PJ. We're talking about The Bachelor because Vinny needs to pay. Lots of bitchy girls who want to see that dick. We didn't want to do this podcast, but Carl is a prick. The Bachelor. Let's discuss The Bachelor with PJ and with Vinny. We've got roses, we've got creeps.